This morning, I would like to talk to you building a blessed home. We are here together with our families, with our little ones, and it's so important to be guided by the Word of God to understand the home structure. And it's not that we do not know, but once in a while, we need a reminder of the Word of God and how the Word of God teaches us concerning our home. Now, I'm aware that I'm young, and I'm also aware that my children are little, and I have a long road ahead of me. And I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I'm gonna let the Word of God speak for itself. Because the Word of God has answers for every season in our life. In every decision that we are making, the Word of God is a direction in our life. God created family, and one of the commands was, of course, grow and multiply. Somebody once said this: I come from a big family of 13 children, actually 14, and one passed away at about 2 years old. But somebody made a joke. He says, well, back in the day, the Bibles were not so easy to get. So whoever got the Bible, meaning my parents, they probably read that verse and closed the Bible and fulfilled it. That's why they have a big family. But there's so much more in the Word of God that we can read and apply it into our lives concerning family. People can debate of different things. People can argue about different things. The culture is changing. The world is changing. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that the Word of God will never change. And it doesn't matter what the culture does. If the culture contradicts the Word of God, we choose God. We choose the Word of God. And this morning, in a few moments, I would like to just share what the Scripture says concerning a family, concerning marriage, concerning children, concerning us as the body of Jesus Christ. And I know that I'm just scratching the surface. There's so much more. Weeks of series can be done on this topic. But this morning, I just have in my heart to read the Scripture and to let the Scripture speak for itself. The Word of God is our blueprint. It gives us principles by which we are to live by, whereas a result, the blessings of the Lord are promised. Often we look around and we say, man, families are falling apart, and that's the design and the plan of the enemy, to destroy families. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. But God designed marriages. God designed families. God was the architect behind this thought. It's not that we woke up one day and said, well, I want to get married. I want to have a family. God has designed this in our hearts for a purpose, to bring glory to His name. And when God designs something, there is guidelines, there is rules, there is things in the Word of God that gives us principles to live by to have a blessed family. There's a Scripture that says, choose today whom you're gonna serve. And then one of the men of God says, but as of me, for me and whom? My house. Or I should say, my family. We will serve the Lord. And that's so important that when society dictates something contrary to the Word of God, that we as believers will be mature enough to say, I'm agreeing with the Word of God. And we will take a stand to serve the Lord, not by ourselves, but with our family. But there's a lot of death that we are witnessing in this culture and around the world that is affecting the families. And as a result, there's divorces. As a result, there's so many things that are going on that are not pleasant even to talk about. And some can say, well, it's because of stress. Well, that can be. Others that are starting these things and they're saying, well, it's because of the pressure of the financial pressure. And that can be true as well. Others would say, well, because people are redefining marriage, what marriage is, and that can also be part of it. But I think and I believe that all of the things mentioned is the result of something that happened before. It's not the cause that families are falling apart. It's the result of something else that maybe for years was neglected. And And I believe, according to the word of God and what I'm gonna be sharing in a moment, it's selfish desires. It's selfishness that we have in our lives, and because of that, there's repercussion. There's repercussion. We are always sowing seeds. We are always impacting something. We are always creating, if I can put it that way, in a way, it's not like if I'm not investing into love, if I'm not investing into building, that means that as a result, we're investing in something else that can bring division or destruction. Unwillingness to serve one another is one of the biggest problems that we are facing today. Unwillingness to serve one another, unwillingness to function under the guidelines of Scripture. Always there is a reason why not to do what the Scripture says to do. But the Bible doesn't give an option. It gives a command. Say with me, command. We find options. We look for options. But the Bible does not give options when it comes to the family structure. But it gives a command that we are to abide by. We are willing to live for the benefit of others, as is written on a wall here. But so often we say, God, can it be the others? I'm willing to live for the benefit of others in this community, in this world, in the church, but not under the people that I'm living with. Not under those that I'm supposed to submit and live with and love and encourage. We're willing to live for the benefit of others as long as they are not under the same roof as I am under. And there's a condition sometimes that we face in our families. Now, when it comes to family, there are four things that the Bible is very clear about where the blessings of the Lord is in our family. Ephesians chapter 5, there's other passages of the Word of God that the Bible talks about, but I'm not gonna go there. I'm just gonna read one passage in context and we'll close. But the Bible says four things. Number one, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and down, number one, submit to each other. Who are we to submit to? One more time with confidence. Who are we to submit to? Each other. Number two, wives to submit to their own, say own, to their own husbands, or husband, I should say. Somebody almost got excited. The pastor just gave me permission. No, husband. Okay? Husband to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And number three, for children to obey your parents in the Lord. That's the Bible, amen? In our homes, healthy biblical submission and loving as Christ loved the church is not a sign of weakness as the society tells us it is. As some might preserve or see as this is weakness. To submit. No, but a demonstration of trust and obedience to the word of God. Let me repeat that. In our homes, healthy biblical submission and loving as Christ loved the church is not a sign of weakness as some may preserve, but a demonstration of trust and obedience to the word of God. When everything is working properly, everything is just smooth, amen? For example, it's like a car. When a car starts and drives nicely, everything works. But the moment things are starting to go wrong, that's the moment when you gotta bring it to the shop. A few weeks ago, we were on vacation in Canada, and everything was perfectly fine. We drove, and halfway to our vacation, next thing you know, our brakes are giving us issues. So we call the shops and they have to order brakes. And so we barely got to the destination and then finally we're able to order. They took a few days for the brakes to come in. and we fixed those brakes and were able to come home safely. But what if I would have said, who cares? As long as the car is driving, it's possible that maybe we wouldn't be here. That's how often we look at families. If something goes wrong, we are to run to Jesus Christ. And by His grace, we can fix those things that are a challenge in our marriage and are in our family. But it is so important to run to Him. It's so important to ask Him for help and to submit to His will. Amen? Trust and love must be at the foundation of our families. Our children learn a lot by watching us live out the principles of the Word of God that they see demonstrated before them. From time to time, I have my daughters here. The little one is downstairs. But from the side, I would watch them. And sometimes the way they interact, I'm like, I did not teach them to interact that way. Where did they learn that? And of course, right away, we see parents in them. We fall short at times. We say things, or we might be quick to act in a certain situation. We might be frustrated and lose our temper in a moment. Yes, pastors do that as well. But we never give up to correct and to grow and to learn and be quick to ask forgiveness. You have no idea how many times I have to ask forgiveness from our little children. Because right away, the Holy Spirit is like, you're not the best example. Because you can tell them as much as you want, but they are watching you, how you live, and how me and you are putting it to practice. And next thing you know, they are playing out. They're living out. They're talking out the things that they see in us. Let me put it this way. In our lives, having our children around us, would we be proud of them to imagine that they're adults and they're having families and they're repeating our lives? Maybe that can be a gauge for us to be able to say, God, I need your mercy and I need your help. And I need you to help in some areas, to be the best example that you have called me to be for my family. In the past 2 months, I've attended a few funerals of my friends' parents passing away. Two particular funerals that I went to, the children were sharing about their parents. And both of them, they shared this. We've never seen our parents argue and raise their voices in front of us. If there was a disagreement, they went separately. They talked, they came to a conclusion, to a decision, and then it was brought to us. And I was like, God help me for this to be my story. That I'll be vigilant, that I would be careful in our families to exhibit those qualities. That even when we do fall, even when we do fall short and lose our temper, they would be so quick to repent that as our children will witness the wrong, they also would witness how we mend relationships, how we forgive, and how we cover each other with love. Amen? The basis and the foundation of a godly home that I'm about to share is trust, love, and commitment. Recognizing that we are on the same team, because the devil would love to convince us that our spouse is the enemy. And so many people believe that. Instead of identifying who the enemy is, we think that the person in front of us is the enemy. And the moment we come to that conclusion is the moment that we give into the lies of the enemy. Instead of saying, I see through. Devil, you have no room in our family. In the name of Jesus, I'm gonna do what the Bible calls me to do and to submit under the authority of the Word of God. Amen? Now, if we can open up the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and down. And I'm going to read in the context of what the Word of God is calling all of us to live by. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and down says this: look carefully then how you walk. So right away, the Word of God is calling me and you not to say look carefully how somebody else is walking, but it's internal. Look carefully how you walk, how I'm walking. It's my walk with the Lord, right? Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Identifying in our families the times that we live in. And the times that we live in, the days that we live in, the Word of God is saying that they're evil. And for us to identify those moments and to be wise, to recognize them, and to be vigilant in our life. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. I want to stop here for a moment. The things that I'm going to be reading, what the Word of God is calling us to live, how to apply this Word in our life, the first thing that we need in our lives as believers to be filled with the Spirit. Another passage says, walk in the Spirit. In different words, we on our own will fail. We do not have the capacity to fulfill all the things that the Word of God is calling me and you to live by. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. That is the Spirit of the Lord that gives us the strength to accomplish the things that I'm about to share. Be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. You see, even to sing this morning, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Even to think about the Lord, we need to be guided and filled by the Spirit of the Lord. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now he continues. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong just to me, myself, and I. But we are to serve one another with love. We are to serve one another and be submissive to one another for other person's preference, for the other person to be blessed, for the other person to be better. That's how our lives should be, that we will always have a character in our lives, in our hearts, to be under authority and to be quick to submit to one another out of reverence to the Lord. And then he continues, wives, submit to your own husband as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their own husband. The Word of God does not give conditions here, my brothers and my sister. If we want to have a blessed family, wives are called to submit to their own husband. Now, you might say, well, what does that mean? This is what I mean, what I just read. For husband, it's not to control or to be Hitler's, or to be harsh. No, I'll get to the husbands in a moment. But as I said, we are to have these qualities to serve one another for the benefit of the other person, knowing that the blessings of the Lord is there when we function and fulfill the Word of God. Let me ask you this. If you would walk in a church, because the Bible says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their own husband. Now, if you would walk here in this building, And we as leaders would say, we're not gonna submit to God because there are some of the things we don't like about the Word of God. There's some of the things I have my own opinion about. And we're not gonna submit to the Lord. We're just gonna have our own church, meaning cult. That's the example that the Word of God is bringing. A good picture is, as the body of Jesus Christ, His bride is to submit to God Himself. Wives, submit to your husband. Yeah, but I don't like about this, or I don't like about that. This is how the structure is. If we wanna reap blessings, unity, it's not gonna be without challenges, but it is the promises of the Lord in our life, my brother, my sister. And as I said, a good example is when you walk into a church or a building where the people of God gather together, and if their desire is, I wanna submit to the Lord, you wanna be in that church. We depend upon Him. We wanna fulfill what the Word of God says, amen? And if the Word of God is preached, God is honored, and we submit ourselves to His authority, you wanna be part of the church because that's healthy. And not only healthy, but that's the right thing to do. And in the same context, Apostle Paul is teaching and admonishing us believers as families for wives to submit to their husbands. Now, let's get to the husbands. The wives are waiting, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. It's a commandment that is given for the husbands not to rule with a heavy hand. Not to rule because I am the husband and I'm gonna say these things and this is gonna happen. You are not allowed to be harsh. You are not allowed to be violent. You are not permitted to lead on your own. But you are called to be submitted under the Lord and with fear to lead also your family. You are to seek guidance from the Lord and lead your family spiritually. To pray and seek the face of the Lord, to be able to seek direction from the Lord for your marriage and for your family. You are there to provide and protect and not to take advantage of. But you are there always to serve. How you can bless your wife. Not to put limitations on everything, but to be there how to support. And of course, in biblical ways. And how the Word of God is calling us to do, amen? As I said, this can be studied in a deep ways, and for months we can do series. And this is just, I'm reading and allowing the Word of God to just speak for itself. But you might say, well, there are things in my life that my husband is asking me to do that are contrary to the Word of God. That's the moment when you choose the Lord and you submit to the Lord. But if it's nothing that is contrary to the Word of God, God has placed a structure in the family, and me and you are to embrace the structure if we want to be blessed. Because God blesses where He says, this is the way you should do. And if we do it, He will bless us. Amen? When we build a home, there is ways to build. The foundation has to be strong. We don't start from the roof or we don't start from windows. But it's a proper way to be able to build that house for that house to stand. Same thing in marriage. There's ways that God has allowed us to read the Word of God and learn and abide by if we want the blessings of the Lord to be upon us. Husbands, you are to seek the Lord. You are to be the spiritual leader. You are the leader according to the Word of God. You are the leader of your home. You are the head. But you have to, and we must, as fathers, as husbands, submit to the Lord and not demand honor. Not demand things because I am who I say I am. But we are to submit under the Lord and guide with love and die to yourself, die to your ideas, and die for everything that wants to elevate your ambition and your ego. And be there to serve. As Christ loved the church, gave himself for the church. Not a perfect. We're not perfect, but he died for us to redeem us. And through those moments, when we serve one another and giving each other for each other's benefit, we will see the blessings of the Lord in our life. Amen? And very quickly, to the children, in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents as the worship team comes. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Out of the 10 commandments, this is the only commandment with a promise. Meaning, if you do this, I will bless you. But if you don't, is it possible that God's blessing can be withheld to the capacity that he can bless families and children? This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life in your land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord. Hallelujah. Children that are here, I was a child once, and I know what you're going through. And sometimes we think that parents, if they say no to some of the things, they're against us. But my parents always told me, when we say no to things, it's because we see on the other side of the mountain. And it's for your benefit. It's for your good. It's for your blessings. It's not that we want to be harsh when we say no. It's not because we want to be mean when we are disciplining you. But it's because we love you. And the word of God is commanding me to lead my home. My brothers, my sisters, am I sharing the word of God or my opinions? I just read what it says. And if there's people online or in this room that have an issue with the word of God or with what I'm saying, take this to the prayer closet because maybe God is speaking something to you. But we cannot rewrite the scripture. We cannot rewrite the structure of a family. We cannot rewrite of man being the leaders of their home and the head in their homes. We cannot rewrite when the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. We cannot rewrite when the Bible says, children, obey and respect your parents. That it be well with you and that you will live a long life, that you will be blessed. We cannot change that. Those are the principles of the word of God. And the things that we're facing today in this society and around the world, the brokenness in our society, the brokenness in our community, is because we want to rewrite the word of God and the principles of the word of God. It's because we're kicking against the things that we don't like. But tonight, this morning, I want to talk to you that if you want to be blessed, that if you want the hand of God to lead you, I'm not going to say that it's going to be perfect in your life, but embrace the principles of the word of God. Embrace them. I've shared in the past, and I'll share it again. When I was growing up, especially in my teenager years and my 20 years, I was not the most pleasant kid on the block. My parents had so many conversations with me, but I was thinking really that they are against me. I wanted to do things, and they would say no, and I thought they're against me. But now, I'm sitting and thinking, thank God, my parents never gave up. My parents prayed. Fathers, gather your children around with your wife, with your family. Do devotions. Read the word of God. Pray. Those are the principles that is given to you as a father. And my parents were doing that. And I was fighting against all of those things, but now I'm so grateful that they prayed and they never gave up. And when I have a chance, I embrace them and I thank them for what they have done in my life. I remember the nights I would come home late and I would hear them pray. Because they knew that words now in my youth years will not transform me. They will just be words that are empty. And they began to fast and pray. And the Lord began to do a work in my life. And I've earned so much respect to my parents. I remember moments where I was not the most pleasant kid to my mom. My dad would take me to a room and would sit down and says, "How are you speaking to my princess? She is my princess. If you're gonna continue this way, I'm gonna deal with you in a different way." They were protective of how kids treated their moms. And moms, you should be protective how the children are dealing and responding to parents. Because we give the best example with our lives to our children growing up to see what the church and the relationship of the church with Jesus Christ should be. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord. I don't have time to read another scripture, but David, the Bible says that he has a few sons, and there is one verse that says, whenever one of his sons became rebelling against the parents, there is a scripture that says, David did not discipline this child. I forget the name. But he says, he did not discipline him. And as a result, when he grew up, he became rebellion towards David. Another scripture, I would want to encourage your children to be careful how you talk about your parents. To be careful how you bring everything from the home to everyone. Let it be a process that God is doing in your own home. Pray together, be together. I remember a story of Noah in the ark. And the Bible says that their father made a bad decision and he got drunk. And in that moment, the word of God says that he was in his shelter, or in his home, I should put it that way, he was naked. And one of their sons came and saw him in the state that he found his father in. And he turned around and went and told everyone. And God says, because you disclosed the most shameful things, I'm not talking about criminal things, I'm talking about shameful things, okay? The big difference. He says, you'll be cursed. I'm not gonna bless you. And then another son came and he had the blanket. And he was backing himself not to be able to see what's going on in the room and covered his father. Those are the principles of honor. Children, learn to honor even when we fall short. Even when we as parents are not perfect, are not there where we should be. Pray for us, cover us, and have mercy on us. Because that's the blessings of the Lord, to be able to honor, love, and respect our parents. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for this time that we have as a family Sundays, where all of us are learning from your word, the principles that are given by you through the scriptures in our lives for family. You have called us as husband to submit to you, to your word, and to love, not to lead harshly, not to have a heavy hand. And I pray that you would help us to do that, oh God. Give us wisdom to give. Give us wisdom to protect. Give us wisdom to always be there, to take the hit for our family, and to be responsible. God, I pray that you would forgive us where we gave up on the principles of the Word of God. Lord, and help us to lead with kindness, with meekness, words of wisdom, and to submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, God. Lord, I pray for healthy submission to be there in our wives, because that's what the Word of God is calling us. And I pray that we would embrace your word, that we will understand it's not a weakness when we do things the way you designed it to do. But with all the people in the family are embracing their call and their responsibility, there's a blessings that follow. I pray that we will choose unity. I pray that we will recognize the devil. when he tries to comes to bring division, and that we would fight for each other, not against each other. Lord, and we also pray for our children, that they would live a life to honor the parents, to obey the parents, because that's what a healthy family looks like. And I pray that you would help us as parents to lead with kindness, not to be harsh with our children, but to lead them in the ways of the Lord, to be quick to ask forgiveness when we fail, and to be quick to make it right. Father, I pray that we would run to you every moment of our life, and that we will learn from you, and that we would bow our knee to your word and to your will, and that we will submit ourselves to you, to each other, and to the structure that your word is calling us to have. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have left all of these things on the pages of the word of God, not to make our lives harder, but to make our lives easier. And this morning, we submit to you first and foremost, and help us to submit to each other according to your word. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And
we have heard the word of God this morning. We have heard truth. And you know, sometimes truth, it pierces us in places we don't expect. And I want to encourage you today, in this day that God has given, that we take this truth and apply it to our lives. You may need to go to someone today and not just say, I'm sorry, but will you forgive me? There's a difference. We can be sorry for many things, but when we come to that place of saying, will you forgive me? I hurt you. I acknowledge that I didn't love you as you needed to be loved. There is so much power when we seek forgiveness, and it is often the beginning of letting love come in. You know, hearing this message from Pastor Pavel this morning, if you heard the thread, all of us are submitting to someone and to something. Ultimately, we all submit to Jesus Christ, but children are submitting to their parents, and wives are submitting to their husbands, and husbands are submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us surrender to the fact that our lives are to be submitted, that they're to be bathed in love, because there is a blessing when we walk in obedience. There is freedom and joy and life, and you're gonna see things change. And before we read our verse of the year, I want to encourage you this one last thought. Where do I begin? My family, you may be saying, is a mess far beyond what you know. We smile on Sundays, but we go home to a lot of pain. Can I ask you to start in one place? Our family prays every evening, and we do so actually on our knees, all of us. More as a sign of submission to Christ and acknowledging that he is bigger than I. Whether you get on your knees or not, I want to encourage you, start in prayer. Gather your family together. Gather as a single individual and begin to just pray. Ask God for help, and he will help you. Amen. You seek help, you will find it. You knock and the door will be opened. Your marriage can be saved. Your children can be blessed. There can actually be joy in your home. Do you know that there can be joy again? That there can be peace, that you don't have to have that knot in the pit of your stomach and live with it? Begin on your knees, beloved. Begin in prayer, asking God, would you help me? Would you help me to submit? Would you help me to love? And would you help me to forgive? Father, we come before you one more time. God, as families, as individuals, and as a church, God, we need you to take this word that we heard today and to apply it to our lives. God, would you help us to seek forgiveness? Would you cause us to walk in love? Would you cause us to understand the beauty of submitting to your will and your plan? God, you have a plan for the family. It's maybe not how we would see it or how we would do it, but your plan is so much better than ours. And the fruit and the life and the freedom and the love that comes from that is far deeper and more beautiful than we could ever know. God, may we begin this day before the sun goes down, that we get on our knees as a family and simply say, God, would you help us? And give us the grace to do it again tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that, God, because it's saying we need you and we acknowledge that we can only do these things by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.